Jeremiah 22. Thus said Yahweh, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. Hear the word of the Lord, king of Judah, who sits on the throne of David, you and your servants and your people. Thus says the Lord, execute justice and righteousness. Deliver him who is robbed out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no violence to the foreigner, the fatherless and the widow. Neither shed innocent blood in this place. For if you do this thing, there shall enter in by the gates of this house kings sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, says the Lord, that this house will become a desolation. Well, this was a difficult message to preach, because nobody likes being given such a tough option, but you've got to repent and show more care for the weak, or else you are going to perish. That's not what a king wants to hear. And kings were very powerful in those days, and for some obscure prophet or priest like Jeremiah to stand there and say this took a lot of courage. But we read in Jeremiah chapter 1 that God had strengthened Jeremiah. And if you want to go and preach the gospel, God will give you the strength in your mind so that you can do it, because we're all a bit embarrassed to preach to somebody else, let alone to tell them what we know is going to be hard for them to take. But God will give us the strength as he did to Jeremiah. So this is what the Lord says about the house of the king of Judah. You are Gilead to me, the head of Lebanon, yet surely I will make you a wilderness. So he loved them. He really loved them. Thought they were as beautiful as Lebanon, but he says, I will make you a wilderness. So God wasn't sort of just lashing out at them in anger. He really loved them, and yet he had to judge their sin eventually. I will prepare destroyers against you. This is the Babylonians, each one with his weapons. They will cut down your choice cedar trees and throw them into the fire. Many people will pass by this city and will say, every man to his neighbor, why has Yahweh done this to this great city? And they will answer, because they forsook the covenant of Yahweh their God and worshipped other gods and served them. Don't weep for the dead, but weep bitterly for him who goes away into exile, for he shall return no more nor see his native country. For thus says the Lord about Shalom, son of Josiah, king of Judah, who reigned instead of Josiah, and who went forth out of this place, he will not return there any more. But in the place where they let him captive, there he will die, and he will see this land no more. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his rooms by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and doesn't give him his pay, who says, I will build me a white house and spacious rooms, and cuts him out windows and makes a ceiling with cedar painted with vermilion. Shall you reign because you strive to excel in cedar? Well, God notices everything. God noticed that this man made his ceiling out of cedar, and he noticed the colour he painted it. And he noticed that this king didn't pay the workers. God notices what man would call little things. God is watching, and he sees and knows all things. The God who is so far away from us knows what colour a king painted the extension that he made on his palace. Didn't your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy, and it was well with him. Wasn't this to know me, says Yahweh? So to know God is not simply to know facts about God, like God is one, etc. To know God is to actually live a life that is sensitive to the cause of the poor and needy. Selfishness, just thinking about myself all the time, this is not to know God. That is not being in relationship with God. But your eyes and your heart only exist for your covetousness, thinking, ooh, I'd like this, I'd like that, instead of thinking, how can I help that poor and needy person? Therefore, thus says the Lord about Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, they shall not lament for him, saying, ah, my brother. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, my Lord. He shall be buried with the burial of a donkey, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up to Lebanon and cry, and lift up your voice in Bashan and cry from Abarim, for all your lovers are destroyed. So their lovers were the nations that they tried to be friendly with and the idols they'd worshipped. I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not hear. That's the trouble with being wealthy, being prosperous, that when God speaks to you, you probably won't want to hear, you won't want to listen. That's why it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That's why many believers are not rich, because God knows if we're prosperous, then we're likely to not listen to him. It's why there is no such thing as a prosperity gospel, whereby the idea is, oh yeah, God wants you to be wealthy, healthy, prosperous materially. Not at all. He wants us to be in his kingdom, and that's what we should want more than anything else in the world. The wind shall feed all your shepherds, and your lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then you will be ashamed and confounded for all your wickedness. Inhabitant of Lebanon, who makes your nest in the cedars, how greatly to be pitied you will be when pangs come on you, the pain as of a woman in travail. As I live, says Yahweh, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with a signet on my right hand, yet will I pluck you from there. And I will give you into the hand of those who seek your life, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I will cast you out and your mother who bore you into another country, where you were not born, and there you will die. But to the land to which their soul longs to return, to it they shall not return. Is this man Coniah a despised broken vessel? Is he a vessel in which none delights? Why are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into the land which they don't know? O earth, 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 hear the word of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh, write you this man childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days. For no more shall a man of his seed prosper, sitting on the throne of David and ruling in Judah. So when we read there, O earth, or land, 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 hear the word of Yahweh. I think this is Jeremiah sort of butting in, saying, look, do you see what's happening? Can you see the judgment that's going to come? Please listen. And yet they didn't. And God really gave them multiple opportunities. And those multiple opportunities just really show how much he loved them, how much he wants human repentance. And when you and I repent, big things, small things, whatever, God really notices. And it must please him so much, because he really wants repentance. And you can see it in how he kept on appealing to the people at this time to repent.